This morning to Matthew chapter 24. We've been in the chapter already a few weeks, and we'll be here at least a few more weeks, probably more than that. Such an important chapter, one that we definitely always want to keep before us. A chapter, actually these next few chapters, that we want to make sure our hearts don't grow hard concerning, because I think that's easy to happen, especially if we are just getting voices, you know what, speaking to us that don't have a high regard for the word, or people that get hard-hearted towards the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we know that's one of the signs of his coming, that many would say, well, it delays his coming, and, you know, surely he's not coming back now. And I remember being a young believer and hearing that in the world a lot, and now I'm an old believer, and it's sad. I hear that oftentimes a lot in the church, and it shouldn't be the case. Because guess what, guys? Jesus said he's coming again, and he said he's coming quickly, and he's true to his promises. And let's remember the Lord told us that, not that our heart would be troubled, or not that we, you know what, wouldn't make plans of life and so forth, and you know, and have guidance and direction and be about building things and so forth, but that we would build those things and the plans would revolve around living for the Lord. And using our talents and our time for his glory, knowing he can come at any time. He can come at any time, as we say, with the bus to pick us all up in Christ. And listen, newsflash, he could also come with a taxi for any of us at any time, because our life is a vapor. And we don't know what tomorrow holds. So as we're looking at this chapter, and again, remember the disciples have asked Jesus the question, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And the Lord begins to answer them of things that would unfold, things that would be abounding. And he uses the word we'll see this morning, the beginning of sorrows, which is a word for birth pains. It means these things he's talking about here would be happening. And as the day of the Lord approaches, they would happen more often with more intensity. And as you read through the chapter, you see that being the case, especially these first 14 verses where he begins to highlight things that will be, again, increasing and really exploding up until the Lord coming for his church. And then again, 14, verse 15 there, we begin to look at the tribulation, and especially the nation of Israel, who God has a great plan for in these last days as well. So last week, we just really looked at the first thing the Lord talked about, which was deception. As he said there in verse 4, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And we looked at so many other verses, and there's so many more verses we didn't look at that absolutely laid out how this would be and so forth. And sadly in it, we saw that not only was the word prophesying, there'd be many false prophets and false teachers, many saying that I am the Christ or I am the anointed one, coming in the name of the Lord and yet not bringing the Jesus of the Bible, the gospel of the Bible, the Holy Spirit, but other spirits. He said these things would be happening, and then sadly that many would be deceived by these things. And we looked in the scriptures and we saw how back again in Israel before their captivity, it says that the people loved the false prophets. They loved to hear what they had to say because they were telling the people what their flesh wanted to hear. And we saw many verses in the scripture that talks about in these last times, people heaping up teachers to tickle their ears, saying, hey, come and lie to us. We want a form of godliness, but we want to deny the power of it. Just really a picture of a shallow, again, carnal, kind of hypocritical Christianity. And guys, God has so much more for us. Hear this morning. God's word is good, and his gospel is good. And the things in the scripture, and you know, sometimes people say, well, that's, you know, that's a serious Christianity. Yeah, we're called to that. We're called to take up our cross and follow him. And let me tell you, in that, you're not going to lose out. Life is found walking with Jesus Christ and growing in him. And listen, there's, as we'll see this morning, tribulations guaranteed in that and persecutions that will come along. But guys, our life's short. How about living an adventurous life for the Lord Jesus Christ? And even remembering that it's in the fire that we draw closer to the Lord. It's in the fire where oftentimes, you know what, people will say, like Nebuchadnezzar did with the three Jewish boys that were thrown into the fire for standing for the Lord. Hey, didn't we throw three in there? And yet I see four, and the fourth looks like the Son of God. Listen, Jesus is seen in our life when we walk close with him and we live for him, and we want to do that. And also, again, we want to be a people that understand there's a lot of deception. Because in this chapter, more than anything, the Lord says, don't be deceived. And we'll see that even alluded to this morning when he talks about many offenses. In part, he's talking about there be many that will be stumbled. And stumbled by what? Deceivers and false teachers. So first of all, we saw we need to want to walk in the truth. We need to be honest. We need to say, am I one that is really groping for the things of God and the word of God? Or do I want to have a form of godliness and deny the power? Do I want people just to tickle my ears? Versus some rebukes at times and exhortations and that call to die to self. And then we saw we need to be grounded in the truth so we can test all things by the truth. And indeed, it starts by testing our own lives, our own doctrine, making sure there's not logs in our own eyes, checking the fruits of our life so then we can test other things properly in a heart of love. And then again, it's not just a matter of knowing the truth, but walking in it. So that's where we were last week, and now this morning we build on this. Notice in verse 6 through 10, it says, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. And in the context of the question, what will be the signs of your coming and the end of the age, this is talking about this period we're in right now, that these things will be increasing, these things were growing. The list continues. Lord willing, we'll get into that next week. But this morning, we'll touch on these things, wars and rumors of wars. I don't know about you, but I hear of a lot of wars and a lot of rumors of wars, and it's on a continual basis. And that's something that very easily can trouble our hearts. It should, in a sense, trouble us, not in a worrisome way, but it should grieve us. We should be concerned. We don't want to grow hard-hearted to these things. Listen, in war, people die. In war, there's great tragedies that take place. But at the same time, the Lord said, don't let your heart be troubled. And there's a lot of people when it comes to the end of the age and even these signs here, they don't even want to hear about these things because they start getting troubled. They start getting worried. They start getting overcame with fear and so forth. And the Lord says, you don't need to be troubled. And it's not just the Lord saying, hey, don't worry, be happy, you know, with no substance behind it. There's reasons we don't need to be troubled. And we're going to look at some of those this morning. And I think if you're here today and you oftentimes fall prey to fear and being, you know, overtaken by worry and so forth, we're going to look at a few things to help you in that, in promises that Christ has given to us. He's given us tools to combat fear and worry. Again, this talk about famines and pestilence and earthquakes and these being the beginning of sorrows, again, we'll touch on that. And then persecution. And sadly, this morning, there's a persecution against the Lord's church all over this world. And in some places, it's just so intense right now. And you heard me praying about Iran, and there's mass executions going on over there. They're not lawful trials going on and so forth. And many being killed right now, just dragged out of their homes and shot in the street. They're Christians and believers in the Lord. And it's happening in many, many places. And we really see an uptick of that everywhere. I mean, if you're going to live for the Lord, you're going to be persecuted. And listen, I'll take it to another level. If you're going to be a Christian that lives for the Lord and blesses Israel, all the more you're going to be persecuted. And there'll be even people that lie about you on the internet. And some of you know what that's about, and others may not. But I haven't gotten my $2,500 in Bitcoin, so I don't know when that's coming. So some of you may know what that's about, and others may not. But then again, he also says many will be offended, they will betray others, and they'll hate others. But here's the thing this morning, as believers in Christ, we don't have that option. That's how he says it will get out there, But that's how it shouldn't be in here in our lives out there. We should be reflecting Jesus. So that's a little bit of where we've been. Let's go there now. Again, verse 6, he says, "And you will hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." So we began to touch on this at the end of last week. We'll pick it up here again, though. Notice what he says. He says, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars." And just him saying you'll hear of these things really is fulfilled prophecy. You got to think back in the times of the Lord. Most people, they never traveled even 10 miles outside of the place they were born. News did not spread the way that it can spread today. They may have heard of wars concerning, you know, their own area or the nation they were in and so forth. But even in the time of Christ, listen, there were people spread out over the world. They weren't hearing there in Israel about the wars between, tribes in the Americas. They weren't hearing about any of that. And yet we're living in a time today where we hear just about everything, do we not? And then we got to filter through what's true and what's not true, because why? There's a lot of deception out there. And listen, that in itself is fulfilled prophecy. The fact that we hear and take in so much. Daniel, when he was prophesying by the Spirit of God about the end of the age, there in 12:4, he's told to take those things that was given to him and to seal them in a book until the time of the end. And it's really the Lord saying at the end, they're going to understand these things way more than you can now. And then he says, many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. And most look at that as fulfilled prophecy in that, listen, people run to and fro, and it's not just, you know what, the elite. Everyone does. Everyone has access to a plane you can get on and fly across the world tomorrow. Vehicles and planes and modern boats and everything, fulfilling a prophecy. Many traveling to and fro throughout the earth. And then he says, knowledge shall increase, or the knowing of things, the knowing of information shall increase. Wisdom's decreasing, knowledge is increasing. That's pretty much what's going on. But then notice there in Revelation 11, the Bible speaks of two witnesses. Many believe, myself included, that will be Elijah and Moses in the first half of the tribulation. And they're going to call down signs and wonders from heaven to really be a thorn in the side of the beast or the Antichrist. More so, they're going to be there, though, to be evangelizing the Jewish people, to really be calling them to repentance. We know, again, through the tribulation, all Israel will come to salvation. That doesn't just all happen at the end of the tribulation. It happens throughout it, of Jews getting converted and slowly eyes being opened. And then through that time of Jacob's trouble in the second half, again, is when they really come into faith with the Lord. But we know these two witnesses, that eventually the beast will slay them, and it says that the knowledge of that will be seen all over the world. It says, then those from the peoples, tribes, and tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put in graves. And it talks about them sending gifts to each other. So finally, the troublemakers are dead, is what they'll say. But what I'm pointing out here is that everyone in the world is going to see that. Well, again, how could that happen there in ancient times? It couldn't have. But do you know, as of right now, 7.21 billion people use smartphones in the world today? 7.21 billion? That's 90% of the world's population. I know that not even 100% of people in our church have smartphones. There's some that don't. They're like, I'm still a landline guy. I commend you in that. I envy you to a degree. And yet they know people that have cell phones and so forth, the smartphones and the access, again, to knowledge and information. It's fulfilled prophecy. And it seems that, again, as it speaks of these being birth pains and becoming more and more intensified, again, we went from landlines to flip phones to smartphones, and now there's a guy that wants to put a chip on our head so we're just tied up to the internet everywhere we go. I'm not doing it, just so you know. But these things are increasing. They're getting more and more intense and so forth. Also, just to finish that out with those two witnesses, they'll rejoice, but then they're resurrected and they're raptured up to heaven. They're caught up into heaven, and it's like all the more, you know, people are taken aback, and it even speaks of a little revival when that happens. So again, you're going to hear about these things, and you're going to hear, again, about specifically these wars and rumors of wars. And we know since the fall of man, there's been wars. Absolutely. Since the time that Christ ascended, there's been wars. But we got to understand, in the last 100 years, there's been so many more wars. We've had 2 world wars. There's people right now that believe we're in World War III right now. It just looks different than the previous two. We know all around the world today there's wars being fought. Some say there's more wars being fought right now than any other time in the history of the world. And how interesting of how much this conflict revolves around the nation of Israel. And just so you know, that is prophetic. That is scriptural. That is biblical. God has a great plan for his church, but part of that plan is not replacing natural Israel. We're the ones that have been grafted in. They're the ones that, again, are in a place where outside of a remnant. Yes, they rejected Christ, but God's faithful to his covenant and his promises. And we've already touched on it. We'll get into it more here, Lord willing, in a few weeks. The Lord speaks, or the word speaks, of Daniel's 70th week, a 7-year period at the end of time when Israel will come into that place of salvation. And amongst other things, it talks about not only a persecution against the Lord's church, but a great hatred towards Israel, a great hatred towards Jews. And we got to understand that is stirred up from the enemy of our soul. Listen, throughout the Old Testament, there was attack on Israel. Why? Because God said through Israel, Messiah would come. So Satan's trying to destroy Israel, so Messiah can't come. The scripture also says Messiah will come back, and he'll rule and reign over Israel for 1,000 years. Satan, once again, is trying to wipe her off the face of the map so that he can prove God a liar and find himself victorious. But God never lies. God's word is true. It's yes and amen. And how interesting that in all the things going on in the world, the centerpiece is this little country in the Middle East about the size of the state of New Jersey. And notice what the scripture says there in Zechariah 2:12. So many verses like this. Behold, I'll make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. All would have it. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. So if you want to heave it away, God said there's going to be a judgment against you. And he's saying here at the end of the age, it's going to be a cup of trembling. Eyes upon Israel, so many things going on around Israel. Absolutely also including these wars now, rumors of wars and things that will unfold and so forth. We're living in this age. Again, so wars and again, rumors of them. And if you just turn on the news and be careful not getting, becoming one of those people that all you do is watch is the news. You'll get indoctrinated if you do. Use your mind when you're watching the news, because there's a difference between reporting news and someone giving you their personal opinion and making their aim to indoctrinate you through the news. But there's so much, again, in the news about rumors of wars. I mean, every day you turn on the news and it revolves around China and Russia and these various nations. Not only, again, wars that are already going on, but the rumors of one. You hear about China and Taiwan continually. India and Pakistan, even, again, with this very loose, shaky peace agreement, which really isn't between Israel and Iran right now. There's still stuff going on. So the rumors are, when's this going to start up again? He said that would be the case. And again, in hearing of the rumors of those, let's make sure as well that we're praying for these wars. Listen, people are involved. This isn't a video game. Let's well, flesh and blood are involved here. Can we say amen to that, Lord? Give us a sensitivity to that. We should be aware of these things. We should pray about these things. But again, the Lord says, see your hearts not troubled. We want to be careful that we don't get, again, gripped with fear. And Satan loves to spread fear. And one of the ways he spreads it is through rumors of what might come next. He's a fear monger. Have you ever been in that place where you're so worried about what's going to happen in that meeting or with that person or with that thing? And almost every time, listen, what we build up in our mind is worse than the actual reality of the thing. And plus, if you're in Christ, he's with you always to the end of the age. And let's make sure we don't fall into that place. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And our own understanding oftentimes is when we hear a rumor or what might happen. We take that, we put the Lord to the side, and we just lean on that. And our mind can go crazy with that. He says, don't do that. But instead, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. We also need to remember that the Lord said there in Matthew 6, not to worry, that we're just to seek first the kingdom of God, and he's going to provide for us. And then he says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its trouble. And so we really need to practice that. And if you wrestle with that, worrying and taking things, you're not acknowledging the Lord. Go back to what the Lord says. Go back to what God says. And we'll look at that here in a second. But notice in this, the first thing we look is that the Lord says, these things have to come to pass. It's part of the process of the unfolding of the end of the age. Again, it's a fallen world. Men wage wars. The Lord's saying, don't tap out. It's par for the course. Part of this is the ramp up to the appearing of the Antichrist. Coming in a time when there's chaos in the world. Coming to the time where pretty much all sides are just saying, we're done fighting. We don't want to fight anymore. Can someone come with an agreement where we all can get along? And we read again in several places, this beast will come on the scene and he'll appear as a great angel of light. And the world will be drawn to him. They'll say, who's like the beast and who can make war with them? Again, he'll bring this peace treaty. And it says there in 1 Thessalonians 5:2, they'll say peace and safety. And then what? Sudden destruction will come upon them. So to say peace and safety, it's saying, and it's implying, before this guy comes along and it makes this treaty in the world, they're saying there is no peace, there is no safety. They're looking for a savior. And here's the truth, whether people know it or not, everyone's looking for a savior. But the only one who can save them is the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? So the Lord says in don't be troubled, these things have to happen. It's part of the prophetic plan. And yet, a few things real quickly to help us combat these things. First, don't lean on your own understanding. Second, no, it's part of the prophetic plan. Thirdly, again, let's remember that, guys, God's in control. God's on the throne. God has all of these things in his hands. They're in Acts 4. We read about John and Peter being persecuted, and persecution beginning to come against the church. And it says they gathered together as the church, and the report was given, and it says, then they raised their voice to God with one accord. And they said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that's in them. And sometimes we got to remember just who our God is. And the midst of being tempted to worry and to have our hearts troubled, just step back and, again, pray the scriptures. Hey, all this is going on and I can easily worry, but you're God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that's in them. You're on the throne. God's not pacing around heaven going, what am I going to do? Secondly, listen. The God that made all these things invites us to sit at his feet. We read in Luke 10 about two sisters, Mary and Martha. And the Lord's coming and Martha's just caught up in concern with all the things that need to get done. And she's running around and she's full of worry. And yet what's Mary doing? We see her just sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing his word. Sitting at his feet, abiding in him, resting in him. And the Lord says to Mary, only one thing's needed, or to Martha, only one thing's needed, and Mary's chosen the part that's good, that won't be taken from her. Guys, make sure in everything going on, you're putting Jesus first in your life. You're resting in him. You're abiding in him. If you abide in him, you'll bear much fruit. And practically, like, you're like, how do I do that? You worship him. You're thankful. You're thankful to him throughout the day. You cast your cares on him. You got an ongoing dialogue going with the Lord through praying to him and taking in the word of God and fellowshipping and walking in the things he's called us to walk in. Also, let's remember in all of these things, if you're feeling worried and like what might happen, listen, the Lord has told us he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Is that not good news? In fact, specifically in Matthew 28:20, he says, and lo, I'm with you always. Notice this, drum roll, da-da-da-da-da-da, even till the end of the age, amen. Even today, the Lord is with us. Listen, the flip side of this, if you're not in Christ, You need to get the Lord with you today. You need to call upon Christ today. Your sin and our sin before we came to Christ separated us from him. But as we talked about in communion, Christ came and lived a sinless life, and he died to pay the penalty of your sin. And whoever, it's a great word, whoever, it covers everybody. There's no partiality with God. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And if you haven't called on him, today's the day of salvation. He wants to meet you right where you are right now. Is that not good news? It's the best news. It's the most glorious news. Let's all remember, also remember these things when we hear wars and rumors of wars and even persecutions and tribulations that will come our way. Let's remember Romans 8:28. There's so many verses like this. We know all things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. God works all things for good. And one of the glorious things about getting time in with the Lord, walking with the Lord, listen, staying steadfast with the Lord, you get to see these promises come to fruition in your life. How many of us at times have gone through trials or a deep trial, a difficult trial, and then you come out the other side and you see all the things that God has done in the midst of that, how God's grown you, how you've grown closer in the Lord, how then you find out you were being a witness for Christ because, listen, eyes are drawn to train wrecks. Eyes are drawn, to fires and so forth. God works those things for good. Let's remember that. That even these things we're reading about here that you could be overwhelmed with, that we're in a world where these things are abounding. Wait a minute. Yes, I'm in the midst of this, and being in the midst of this, God is with me in the midst of this, and all these things going on and how they affect me, God wants to work it for my good and for his glory. Boy, it really can change our mindset. Don't be troubled. God's working here. And then also let's remember, I think this is huge in this, we are here to be soldiers for him and not to count our lives dear to ourselves. A lot of times when we hear these things, we get full of worry because we're thinking the little nest I've made that I sit in for comfort might get rocked. And I just want to go over the corner right here and just be left alone and be in a safe space over here, a padded pillow room, you know? Guys, we've been called to be soldiers for the Lord. Paul said it there in the scriptures. None of these things move me, nor do I count my life dearer to myself, so I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And what he's talking about here is the context that persecutions, chains, and tribulations await for him in every city. And he says, but I'm fine because I don't count my life dear to myself. I'm here to live for God. And how ironic that in doing that, again, Paul was doing the very best thing for his life, dying to self and living for the Lord. Let's remember that. Let's remember we're called to be soldiers for the Lord, farmers. The Bible uses, again, athletes, boxers and wrestlers and runners as a comparison. We haven't been called to get saved and get filled with the Holy Spirit and then to go hide somewhere in a cave where, you know, we're protected. Our protection's in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll go before us. And if you've been counting your life so dear to yourself that you're worried of the grass growing, you need to repent of that today. God's on the throne. God's going before you. And God has called us to get out there and live for the Lord Jesus Christ and let our light shine in a world that desperately needs Jesus because it is filled with darkness out there. Can we say amen to that? And then he says, for nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Interesting, kingdom versus kingdom is just speaking of really nations and kingdoms as we would know them today. Nation versus nation is the word ethnos, and it's speaking of ethnicities and tribes of people. It's people groups in the midst of, again, nations that are warring. And we see that so much around us, groups, you know, pitted against each other. We see that so much of that in our nation. Again, many people speak, eventually there'll be a civil war. Other people say, there's already a civil war going on. You know, it's just waged a little differently. And look, if you're one that's yearning for that, you need to repent of that today. How about we yearn for a revival and people coming to Christ on both sides of these issues? Because if you think one side's got it all together and the other doesn't, listen, if you don't got Jesus in your life, you ain't got anything together. But we see this abounding around us. It's, again, a continual thing. And then he says these things will rise up. Nation will rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom. To rise up here, it means to rouse from sleep, to come out of obscurity. And usually when something's roused, it means something that is, there's something that's rousing it up. And we know where this comes from, where these things get risen out of. Number one, again, the enemy of our soul. 1 John 5:19, we know we're of God. Let me ask you, are you in Jesus today? Can you say amen to that? Do you know that you're of God? You need to know that. But the whole world, it says, lies under the sway of the wicked one. Listen, if you're under the sway of something and you lie under it, it's a picture of a fogginess, a, you know, like you're asleep. You can get roused up by the enemy. And Satan loves wars. And again, there's wars that are fought that are righteous. Listen, I believe those bombs dropped on those nuclear facilities in Iran was a righteous act. We don't need those things. And people are like, what are you doing here? We don't need that. That's a goofy mindset to say, oh, just let them develop their nukes over there. Let's just do nothing about it. That's silliness. But listen, in wars, people die. And in most wars, there isn't any righteousness. And even ones where there is a righteous cause, oftentimes it becomes unrighteous very quickly. And Satan loves that. We also read about the nations themselves. Listen, we don't always get the excuse, the devil made me do it, because he might tempt us, but we're the ones that actually do it. And it says there in Psalms 2, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. So just nations saying, we don't want to be under the counsel of Christ. We want to be our own God. And when that happens, absolutely, wars follow. And then even wars that come out of us. And maybe it's not kingdom versus kingdom, but nation versus nation. But oftentimes it's friend against friend, family against family. Again, sometimes it's a righteous thing. You're standing for the Lord and there's a persecution in it. You don't say, well, I'm going to quit talking about Jesus so I get along. No, I'm called to live for the Lord, to do it in love. But Jesus comes first. But sadly, a lot of times these wars come from our selfishness. James 4:1, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desire for pleasure that war in your members? And again, this is where that call to die to self comes in. Let's be living for the Lord, not for our pleasures or our own appetites, where again, we even heap up false teachers to tickle our ears, to coach us up, and just living a carnal Christian life versus that call to die to self and be soldiers for the Lord. He also says here, there'll be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. Again, all you got to do is just begin to look around, do research. You'll see headlines like this: record number of people worldwide are moving towards starvation. Another one: why the surge in earthquakes lately? Could a bigger one be next? The Bible speaks of this, of earthquakes in various places, fearful sights in heaven. Look at so much of this is just creation itself yearning for the coming of the Lord. You know, the Bible speaks of creation worshiping God. It's not to say that they're created in the image and likeness of God. Creation isn't. We are. But again, it's a fallen world that's been subjected to the futility of man. And the Bible says there in Romans 8:22, we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together till now. To what? To the coming of the Lord. When man sinned, creation was subjected to a curse and bondage, and creation itself yearns to be freed from it. And what the Lord is speaking here is of the world itself, nature itself, yearning for the coming of the Lord. And as we get closer, again, these things get more intense. Again, pestilence, a contagious, infectious disease. It really means an evil influence or agent, a dark doctrines even that are regarded as harmful and dangerous. And listen, we're in a place where we are bombarded by spiritual, mental, and physical agents that are evil all day long. It doesn't take a lot of research to understand food and air and water and a lot of medicines and media, music and movies and entertainment. And sadly, oftentimes evangelical gatherings, they're full of poison. We need to be aware of it. Death comes out of these things. There's been a lot of things the last 5 years in this world, right? And I know this, the birth rate's down 20%. Some say the death rate's up about 20%. I remember a guy saying, hey, at the end of this, if we reduce the population by 15%, we get a big win. Remember that guy? Kind of happening. The Bible speaks of these things. And he says of all these things, the beginning of sorrows. And again, we've alluded to this. It's a word that means a pain, especially through childbirth. Again, we know when a woman is getting ready to give birth, getting near to that, these labor pains begin to happen. There's a birthing that's going to take place. It's going to be a painful process. Those pains start coming more and more rapidly. They get closer and closer until the time of reveal when that child comes out and says, ta-da, here I am. Gets more and more intense. These are the beginning of sorrows. And again, this is implying here it's going to get a whole lot worse. And indeed, I don't got the time to go deep in it, but it's in your notes. Listen, in the tribulation, that last 7 year period of time, it gets a whole lot worse. Because we know the whole world is deceived by Antichrist. They all, again, say, who's like the beast who can worship him? We read of a 200 million man army that, you know what, rises up. Many believe it comes out of the east. We don't know that for sure, but listen, a million man army is huge. A 200 million man army, and we read of spiritual wars and so forth, and rumors of wars abounding. We read in Revelation 6 of such a famine where a man works all day to earn a loaf of bread, that's on the horizon. Pestilence, again, it talks about those who take the mark of the beast so they can buy a loaf of bread, that loathsome and foul sores break out on their body. And that's because the enemy's plans never work out, but God's plans always do. And then we even read of earthquakes like that had never been seen in the earth, where even the mountains and the islands are flattened. Listen, all this is because this world's under a curse. It's still a beautiful world, even under a curse, wouldn't you agree? But the Lord's going to come back and restore these things. Absolutely, there's going to be a new heaven, a new earth that aren't marred by sin and the fall of man. Verse 9, it says, Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Listen, this is going to be something that comes as a surprise to us. The Lord made it very clear. He said in John 15, 18, if the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. Listen, if you're getting hated because you stand for the Lord, take comfort. They hated Jesus before they hated you. And then he says, if you are of the world will love its own. And if you're a Christian, that you are just loved by the world, the most carnal people love you and they celebrate you. Guys, that's not necessarily a good sign. The world loves its own. This is why false prophets and false teachers flourish, because even the world loves it. They love their message of Christianity light. They're ecumenical wide roads where, you know what, if you pray to your doorknob, somehow you're saved and you're going to get to heaven. The world loves that. But if you're going to live for the Lord, listen, you're going to be an outcast in the world. He says, yet because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant's not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. And again, the statistics just lay it out. I got some. I'm not going to go over all of that. It's there in your notes. There is a great increase of persecution around our world. Listen, there's nations where if they know you're a Christian, they're going to kill you or they're going to enslave you. Those are absolute facts. And sadly, very, very little of that gets talked about. There's not a lot of press about those things. Those things are suppressed. And this is expanding to all nations. If you're like, oh man, I'm glad I'm in America. Well, listen, he says, they'll deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations except the United States of America for my name's sake. No, he says all nations for my name's sake. And here's the thing, if you're living for his name's sake, if you're standing in truth, there's going to be a hate because the world hates Christ. He says there in 2 Timothy 3:12, yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And if you ever ask the question, why? Why is the world so bent out of shape when the name of Christ gets put out there? Well, the Lord tells us. Again, they hated him before they hated us. But he says there in John 3:18, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. Hear this. The light's come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they've been done in God. Jesus is the light of the world, and he's told us to be salt and light. A city is set upon a hill. And when you're a light for Jesus Christ, those that want to live in darkness, that want to be their own God, that want to say, I will do as I will, I'll do what's right in my own eyes. When the light of Christ comes in, they hate that and they push back. And you got to understand what that happens. It is a spiritual war that is going on. And Jesus says that if you live for him, you will experience that. Well, what do we do when that happens? He says there, as he continues there in 2 Timothy, Paul, he says, all desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Evil men and apostles will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you learned them. And that from childhood you've known what? The scriptures that are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. He says, they do that, but what do? Onward, Christian soldier, I stay grounded in the word. I know this is par for the course, and I pray for them when they persecute me because I know there's a spiritual war that they're probably completely ignorant to. Also, again, let's remember that this is suffering for Christ. That's a privilege. When man sinned in the garden, suffering came. And people suffer for all kinds of things. But again, those early disciples rejoiced. They were counted worthy to suffer for the Lord. And we're told to rejoice to the extent that we partake of Christ's sufferings. That when his glory is revealed, you also may be glad with exceeding joy. If you're reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the spirit of glory in God rests upon you. And it says, in you he's glorified, in them he's blasphemed. He says in verse 10, that many will be offended, betray one another, and hate one another. Listen, this word offended, it's really kind of twofold meaning. First of all, it's offense in that, you know what, it is a resentment to feel violated, to feel victimized and so forth. And let's face it, we're living in such a time. I call it the false gospel of victimhood. Boy, let me go around and look for an offense. Have you noticed that? That's kind of a climate we're in. And you're like, oh, those left-wingers. I know a lot of conservatives that play the victim continually. They play the victim. Because again, if I'm the victim, it makes you unrighteous and it makes me righteous. And I'm owed something. Now listen, there's absolutely real injustices in the world. But we are all sinners. And yet you see this idea of offenses. It's just all, oh, be careful. You might offend somebody. Anyone ever tell you that? I hear that quite often. And I'm like, well, you know what? I don't want to offend you by myself. But if the truth offends you, I make no apologies. Because guess what truth also does? It sets us free. Listen, let's make sure that when we're offended, that we don't fall into this trap. We're called to forgive, right? Not to harbor grudges. We're called to pray for those that would offend us. We're called to walk in truth, not in doctrines of demons and philosophies of men that say, hey, listen, we're preaching a false gospel of being offended. And so let me try to find my righteousness, and how dare you offend me? There are people that run around the body of Christ to do that. We're an offense towards God every day. Why don't we just rejoice in the grace and mercy God's given to us and extend some to some others? But this is also talking about an offense, which means to be stumbled and trapped into sin or apostasy. And it goes back to false teachers. Many will be offended. Many will be stumbled by what? These false teachers we looked at last week, as well as we're living in a time where there's easy access to sin. We'll see next week, Lord willing, in verse 12, he says, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Lawlessness means we don't want the law of God. We won't want the standards of God. A heart growing cold to the Lord, to the truth, to others. And when there's no law, when there's no morality, what happens? There's an easy access to sin, and that stumbles people. Listen, there should be things that are restricted, that it takes a lot of work to get your hands on. And yet we're living in a time when that's so easily accessed, and it stumbles so many people. I always say, man, before you get critical of the guy on heroin or fentanyl and so forth, you better step back, because so many of that starts when guy hurts his back and he gets prescribed a bunch of opioids, and one thing leads to another. It happens easy. And then he says, again, many will betray one another. Listen, betraying is an attribute of the Antichrist. Again, he's going to confirm that covenant, and then he's going to betray Israel. He's really going to betray the world. We'll get more into that here down the road. But aren't you glad Jesus never betrays us? He never betrays us. He is the faithful friend, is he not? And what a faithful friend he is. Listen, I know myself, and let's be honest, you know yourself. And if we're really honest before God, the Lord's perfect. I'm so far from it. There's times when I step back and I say, Lord Jesus, how can you stand me? And yet he's a faithful friend. Even when Stinky here is by his side, he's faithful to me. Oh, he's so good. Again, a world full of betrayal, a world where someone will use someone and kick them to the curb when they're not being benefited by them. A world where people will say, Dad, you didn't vote for me like I voted. I'll never talk to you again. So much of it. But again, we don't have that option. Jesus is loyal. I love 2 Timothy 2:13. If we're faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, he who calls you is faithful. And then let's remember Ephesians 5:1. It says, be imitators of God as dear children. Then lastly, he says, again, he says here, where is it at? Many will hate one another. Have you noticed it seems there's a rising of hate today? Again, going back to James 4:1, he says, where do wars and fights come from? Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desire for pleasure that war in your members? It's people saying, I want my way, I want my thing, and if you don't give me that or appease that, I hate you. I hate you because you don't do what I want you to do. It also comes to a seared conscience. The Bible talks about men departing from the faith and having their conscience seared with a hot iron. There in 1 Timothy 4:1 and 2 Timothy 3, he talks about perilous or troubled times coming in the last days. And it's a whole laundry list of ugliness that men walk in. And one of those things is they're unloving. And the word unloving there, it means to be hard-hearted towards kindred. It means to be without natural affection. In other words, the effects of a fallen world so affects them that they lose their ability to love others, even in the natural sense. Again, yes, we're sinners, but we are still born with a softness about us. But the more you get inundated with antichrist things and vicious things and sin and so forth, you can begin to have a seared conscience where you're like a savage running around and you just hate everybody. And there's a lot of that in our world today. Christians will begin to fall in that at times and feel justified in it for some reason. They feel like they're justified in hating the 19-year-old kid that's struggling with their sexuality because they've been watching all of these, you know what, goofy conservative commentators that make fun of the low-hanging fruit. Listen, some 19-year-old boy dressed up like a girl, you don't need jokes. You look at that, and in a sense, and I don't want to say this in a mean way, you laugh because it doesn't fit. But I don't got a right to hate that kid. I need to love him and feel sorry for him. And who did this to you? Who indoctrinated you? I need to have compassion. Yes, I need to stand for the truth and say that's wrong and protect the children coming up, but we need to love them. And a lot of times we start reflecting the world and we think we're justified because we're in Christ and they're outside of Christ and I'm justified in hating them. No, we are to hate sin, and it is true, we are to love sinners. And if there's hatred in your heart towards people, you got to crucify it. Well, you don't know what they did to me, Steve. What did we do against God? We put Jesus on the cross. We don't get this option. And it is abounding around us. And if you're in the midst of it, it can affect you. And if you're in that workplace or that home, or, you know, in that atmosphere where this stuff, you know, it spews, you better take your thoughts captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. We'll close with this, 2 John 4. I rejoice greatly that I found some of your children walking in truth as we received commandments from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I write a new commandment to you, but that which we have heard from the beginning. So we're being pleaded with, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. And this is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Love God, love one another. This stuff's all out in the world. It shouldn't be in our hearts. It shouldn't be in our fellowship. It shouldn't be coming before us. And this is where we need to be true with God. Bring into the light of Christ. Lord, I hate this guy. You died on the cross for him. Help me with this, God. It's amazing how the Lord will. Let's stand up here and we'll close in prayer. Well, again, Lord, we praise you. We thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that not only does your word speak of these things unfolding, but God, you give us instruction, God, of how to walk in the midst of these things. And you're there to help us. And let us remember that, God. Oh, Lord, I pray especially for those this morning, God, that get overwhelmed with fear and worry. Oh, Lord, I hope and pray, God, through your word today that, God, faith has been birthed. And, Lord, all of our faith has grown, Lord. And there would be more faith in Christ and less fear and worry. And, Lord, God, in this call, God, of again, walking in love, you'd help us with it, God. Help us in these areas, God. I know I need your help, God. I'd be a lying hypocrite if I said, well, you know what, I got it all dialed in. Oh, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that Lord, he who began a good work will be faithful to complete it. Do a work in us. Can we say amen to that today? And if you're here and you don't know the Lord, again, you need Christ in your life. You might be running around, hey, I need this, that, or other. If you don't need Jesus, the number one thing you need in your life is Jesus Christ. You need the Lord. And the Lord is ready to meet you where you are right now. Oh, I can't compel you enough, encourage you enough to humble your heart. Ask Christ to forgive you. Put your trust in him and the work of the cross, his death and resurrection. He'll meet you where you are. And again, it has to be a sincerity of, be my Lord, be my God. I want you to reign over my life, and he will, and oh, he'll come up. He is the messer, cleaner, upper. Oh, he wants to meet you where you are. Any in that place, Lord, shine your face on him right now. And Lord, as we close here, I pray, Lord, that we could, Lord, not just worship you, but Lord, robustly worship you and lift our voices to you right now because you're worthy of it. Let's praise God as we close here.
Savior Jesus, he has set his way. gift is complete. So I trust you, simply trust you, Lord, with every part of me.
Oh, on that cross.
Oh, on that cross. How it was seen. I can go now ever trusting in the one who died for me.
That's a good prayer. That's a good song to end on. God bless you guys. I pray you have a wonderful day in the Lord Jesus.